Well, it was a very difficult day for rugby yesterday. Under the worst case scenario, rugby's facing a $120 million loss this year should Super Rugby and the Wallabies domestic tests not go ahead. They've had to stand down at Rugby Australia headquarters 75% of their staff from April 1 to June 30. Raylene Castle-Lascelles taken a 50% pay cut, other executives around the 30% mark. Super Rugby clubs have also followed suit with big cuts at the moment. But we're lucky enough now to be joined on the line by the Rugby Australia Chief Executive Raylene Castle. Thanks for your time, Raylene.
Morning, Jared. How are you?
Going very well. I can only imagine what a difficult day and a difficult week it's been running the game and the cuts you've had to make. We haven't seen a good news story in rugby, it seems like, forever, since probably the Wallabies beating, to the general sports fan, since probably the Wallabies beating the All Blacks in Perth last year. What hope can you give rugby fans and players and other stakeholders in this country at the moment?
Yeah, I think that's one of the frustrations for rugby, really, Jared. I think we're at a stage where we were starting off in 2020 with some very challenging things, as you pointed out, but lots of really positive news stories. Our initial registration numbers were up for rugby in junior rugby. We had a new coaching team that was led by Dave Rennie that everyone was excited to see hit that waves, airwaves. We had more Wallaroos test matches than we've ever had before. So there was lots of really positive things to talk about. Unfortunately, the world's been struck by this virus. Nothing we can do about that. So it's about making sure, and I think sport, I just heard your conversations about the challenges sports are facing, Michael. And, you know, there is no doubt that there is going to have to be collaboration. The whole world of sport's been hit by this. It will be a reset for sport around the world, and I think it will force, certainly in rugby terms, there's already conversations between the Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere about how we might be able to think about a global calendar, which ultimately would make more sense for every rugby country in the world.
And next it's going to be a reset with your players as well, Raylene. So, firstly, why is Rugby Australia reluctant to show the Players Association the financial information they say that they've requested?
Yeah, and that's, you know, they have certainly requested a lot of financial information. At the end of the day, we have supplied them the financial information that they are allowed to see as far as the CBA goes. We will continue to work with them to try and clarify that information so that they are comfortable with the information that they will require to make those ultimate decisions. As you can imagine, there's not a lot of information to see. At the end of the day, the financials are very tough. We're facing potentially, well, no content certainly until after June. The June to September window is certainly challenged, and we're very hopeful that we'll get some content up in the back end of the year. But the reality is we're talking to the players, as you just said, with the staff about a three-month period of time. The next 3 months is important. We're asking them to consider sensibly to work with us to find a pay cut or a pay award in that period of time that allows the game to continue in three-month blocks, the first 3 months, the second 3 months, and then hopefully we'll get some content in the last quarter of the year.
Raylene, operating expenditure was up $6.6 million last year. I can only imagine, I know non-disclosure agreements are in place, but how damaging was the court battle with Israel Folau and subsequent payment to that operating expenditure?
I think the whole issue was damaging for the game, there's no doubt about that, and not just for the issue that the sport had to deal with, but for the people that were hurt by the comments that were made. So right across the board, we dealt with something that was unforeseen. I thought that I was over-dealing with unforeseen things, but I'm now dealing with something called a COVID-19, which is unforeseen as well. So, yeah, the issue was certainly disappointing for the game. We did all the right things to stand by our values and make sure that we stood up for what we believed was right, and ultimately that is now behind us. We reached a settlement that meant we could draw a line in the sand, and as I said, we were staring into a great start for 2020 and lots of positive things to look forward to.
Raylene, I think one of the strengths of this country, Australia, is that we are all very open to everyone having an opinion. And there's no doubt through the media, we judge extremely hard. But from your perspective, you know, I guess I ask this on behalf of this show, but also all the media out there, how can we help rugby? Because, you know, I love this code. I love rugby being successful in this country, and I love watching it as a kid. But I think we have to play a part in trying to help as well. So I guess from my perspective, I guess I'm asking, you know, what messages can we be putting out to the fans of rugby to try and help you and help Rugby Australia get through this period and find a way to get rugby back to where we all want it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, thanks, Michael. I think it is celebrating those green shoots. You know, there is lots of positive things happening, and certainly across the country, rugby at the grassroots level and community rugby, you know, binds a lot of communities together, like rugby league do, like AFL, like netball does. But, you know, rugby plays a really important part in communities, and making sure that we all give those volunteers and those people that work really hard to sustain the sport at those levels the thanks and the appreciation that they deserve. And no doubt when the Wallabies don't perform and people aren't comfortable, they are disappointed with that, and we accept that criticism, but also recognising the significant change that Rugby Australia has made. We've, in the 2 years that I've been there, we've restructured the whole of the high performance across Rugby Australia and across the super teams to an integrated high performance platform that's never been delivered before in Australian rugby, and that will make us stronger both at a super rugby level and with the Wallaby performances. So there has been a lot of work. We've got a fully integrated community program now where all of our community states and territories work together towards one plan to give young boys and girls that play rugby great experiences. So there is a lot of work gone on to bring the sport together to make sure we're aligned, and at the administrative level we are, and that will ultimately bear fruit. We're asking for a bit of time, and as I said, we started to go into 2020 with registrations up for junior rugby, and that was exciting for us. I know when we get back to rugby, we'll see those people return to our sport. Mm.
Raylene, Laurie Daly here. I just want to ask, how are you coping? I mean, Clarkie and I, as sportsmen, have been through the ups and downs and people criticising us for whatever we do right or wrong. Obviously, being the leader of the game, people want to attack you. But personally, how are you feeling? Because it's unprecedented times, and you're going to deliver the bad news to a lot of people. I'm just wondering how you're coping and how you're feeling and whether you've got good support network around yourself.
Yeah, thanks, Laurie. It is tough, and that's the definition of leadership, right? It's all good and fine to lead when it's easy, but when it's tough, that's when you've got to really step up. And I think rugby's a very caring community, and whilst we had to make an enormously difficult decision yesterday, and certainly made slightly easier by the government's decision with the JobKeeper allowance, which, you know, I have to commend them for. You know, it was really, really difficult. The most difficult thing I've ever had to do is to tell 70% of your staff that, you know, they've got to be stood down for 3 months. That's very difficult. They've all got families that they need to support. But at the end of the day, everyone realises that this is beyond our control, beyond rugby's control, the situation that the whole world's facing. And if we stick together, make the tough decisions now to ensure this is sports sustainable, because that's what every business is going through at the moment, unfortunately, is having to make those really difficult short-term decisions so that you can bring the sport back when it's ready, bring the business back, whatever it is, and it's ready to start up again when this virus passes. So, yeah, it has been difficult, but I'm very lucky to have a really supportive group at Rugby Australia and a really supportive board.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, everyone needs support in these difficult times. What about, have you had any conversations with World Rugby and how they might be able to contribute, or have they indicated that they could help you get through this period?
Yeah, they have, Laurie. We're in dialogue with them. They've put a team together that are responsible for delivering support to the Tier 1 nations. They have very, very large levels of reserves. I put that into context by business standards, their large sports standards. However, they also use those to survive between World Cups. As you can imagine, they get their income from a World Cup and they use it to survive through 4 years. So they have to be prudent about how they allocate it. It will be helpful to all the Tier 1 nations. So I think all 10, there's 10 Tier 1 nations, is that's not very great language, but Tier 1, Tier 2 and developing countries. And everyone will be requiring some support. So what they're working through is how they could make a meaningful contribution, be that as a loan or a grant, to help us. It will be helpful. It's certainly not going to solve the hole that we're facing and that we're going to have to solve ourselves, but it certainly will be a helpful contribution.
Big issue for rugby fans at the moment, Raylene, is that they don't even know where they're going to watch their rugby next year at this stage. Is there regret that when the opportunity was there to roll over the current deal with Fox Sports for 5 years, that it didn't go down that path, and we don't know what Super Rugby is going to look like? Can you give us any answers on that front?
No, there's, at the end of the day, you know, if everyone had a crystal ball, they'd all make different decisions, wouldn't they? But at the end of the day, we did what was the right thing for our sport, which is take our sport to market. We had a number of players that said to us, we want to go through a tender process and be part of that process. And whilst this situation with the virus has created a postponement of that process, we're confident that the people we were talking to will step forward as we continue through the back end and we start to get back to some more normal business discussions. At the end of the day, from Super Rugby's point of view, you know, we are contracted to deliver Super Rugby as it was as it was previously with 14 teams in a round robin, or actually it's not previously, as the new format of 14 team round robin. Whether that is the reality of what we all face going forward, I think that's the work that Sanzar are doing to work together to have a plan A and a plan B and a plan C. I think that we're contracted to go through that 14-team round robin, but the reality of flying people around the world to play in a domestic or rugby competition is a question that we all have to ask ourselves, because we're not sure if that's what's going to be the new reality as the world wakes up.
Finally, Raylene, we saw NRL players agree, it's about to be rubber stamped, but a 46% pay cut themselves across their 12-month deal of their cycle should no further rugby league go ahead this year. What sort of pay cut would Rugby Australia like their players to make?
Yeah, I mean, that's not a conversation that's appropriate for me to have now. We'll have that conversation behind closed doors with Rupa and the players. And, you know, we had Michael Hooper and Matt Tamura and Shannon Perry on the call and discussions with us yesterday. They are an incredibly important part of our game, and you know, I have enormous respect for what they do for rugby. But you know, this sport and this world is facing unprecedented times, we're going to have to work through a solution that works for rugby.
Raylene, really appreciate you giving us some of your time this morning, and good luck navigating the tough few months ahead.
Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate your support.